So Lord, may you graciously help me. I'll turn your prayerful attention to the book of Ruth, and particularly looking this evening at chapter 2, but I do want to, for a text, take verse 10 in chapter 2 of Ruth. The words of Ruth, the response of Ruth to the kindness, the unexpected kindness that she received from Boaz. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10. The words of Ruth. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Well, this morning we looked at really the first chapter of Ruth more, the fact that there was this separation between these two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, both travelling with Naomi, seeming to go with her and seeming to travel with her and wanting to go with her to Judah, and yet there was this separation. There was this test that Naomi gave, and Orpah returned and Ruth clave unto her. Ruth did not just want to have a short-term acquaintance with Naomi. She wanted, in this wonderful statement she made, I will go with thee, where thou lodgest I will lodge, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. It was a clear choice and desire that she had, that she wanted to know the blessings that Naomi had experienced. And yet Naomi had actually said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. And Naomi means pleasantness, Mara means bitterness. She felt the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with her. She felt under the chastening hand of God. And yet Ruth, seeing another child of God under the chastening hand of God, was drawn by love to see that this was the right way. This was the way that leads to life. This was the way that leads to know the Redeemer. And indeed, of course, Ruth did come to know the Redeemer in due time. And so we then, if we look in chapter 2, it begins with this lovely statement that we're told. And Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So here we have the contrast. Ruth, Naomi, in negative equity. They seem to have, the land has been sold, mortgaged, and they need to find that money back if they're going to ever have it for themselves. They're in negative equity, and they're in widowhood. There's no seed raised up in the name of the dead. So many needs that they had. And yet, in a contrast, we have that we're told that there was a kinsman of Elimelech, a mighty man of wealth, one that was wealthy, but he was not just wealthy. And that was the great thing of a kinsman redeemer. They had to be of a near relative. They had to be wealthy if they're going to redeem people. If they were poor themselves, how could they help somebody else out? But they also needed to be willing. And here you see the heart of Boaz was a loving heart. He had a love towards Ruth. And so the Lord has a love to his people. He loves his people. And therefore you see he is such a suitable saviour. Well, we're told that we had this situation then with Ruth. They didn't have anything to eat, but it was the time of harvesting. And so Ruth picks up on this Whether she read it in the Old Testament, we don't know. How she knew there was these laws concerning gleaning. The idea of gleaning was that when they did the main harvest, they would drop some corn on the ground. And it would be hard work to pick up those single grains. It would take a lot of work to get only a little bit of fruit. And it was God had particularly designed or made a provision that this work could be done by those who were very poor and who didn't have anything to eat, and they could pick up those grains one by one and gather them together, and that could be theirs, and that could be that could sustain them. And you see, God had made this provision. And so often through the Word of God, we see the provision for the poor. You see, the gospel is for the poor. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. The poor in spirit. And as we see here as we've named for our text in verse 10, you see the humility of Ruth. And this is so vital, humility. We cannot come to God in pride. Well, we can come to God in pride, but with the rich have he sent empty away. God resisteth the proud, we read, but giveth grace unto the lowly. Ruth was lowly. And how vital this is. This is so vital. We need it so much. And it is the work of the Spirit. It is that meekness that is so vital. In Psalm 34 we read, verse 18, the Lord is nigh, the Lord is close, nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Not those who are strutting about in pride, impressed with their own righteousness, impressed with their own works. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, a repentant spirit. And this is so much portrayed in the behaviour of Ruth. She was one that was repentant, one that was seeking to realising her nothingness. And realising that it was all of God's grace, you see. And we need to come there. That we don't deserve the least of God's benefits. See, if we come with... We live in a world that thinks everybody has tremendous rights. And they think they have a right to everything. But actually, you see, we've come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We have a right to that. But here you see, Ruth came to glean. She was one of those that didn't have anything to eat. Ruth and Naomi, and Ruth willingly went. You see, we're told, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean ears of corn, after him in whose sight I find grace." You see. She says in a gracious way, it's my right to go and glean. No, just to see whether there would be mercy. She was seeking for kindness from somebody who would allow her, and the law was on her side in that sense, because God had commanded. And you see, Boaz, this mighty man of wealth, was one that loved the law and kept the law, as it were. Made it later on, when he was going to take Ruth to be his wife, and there was a nearer kinsman. He didn't say, "Well, we won't worry about that. We'll just go ahead and do it anyway." No, he satisfied. He sorted out all the requirements so that Ruth could legally and rightly be his bride. And so has our beloved Saviour. He hasn't taken his bride twisted something to get her. He's satisfied. The demands of justice. Justice was satisfied. No claim could come against her. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is the New Testament Boaz. The Lord Jesus Christ is that one who honoured the law and satisfied all the claims of his bride, so that she could be his and nobody could could speak against it. We're told, and Ruth the Moabite said, "Let me go to in the field and glean ears of corn with him in whose sight I found grace." And she said, "Go, my daughter." And this has so often by God's people down through the ages been seen as a picture of how sinners can come and seek to glean in the gospel field. In their, from their poverty, in their emptiness, they come to glean from Christ. You see, those that are proud with their own self-righteousness, they don't need something from God. The Pharisees didn't think they needed anything from God. They had many things to give God, and they thought God would be impressed with them. But you see, Ruth doesn't come like that. She comes as one that's need. And if we've been taught by the Holy Spirit of our need, we're come seeking God for mercy. We're come seeking that the Lord would come and bless us. So she came and gleaned. And she went and gleaned in the field. You see, she was diligent. She wasn't lazy. You see, we are to had that in the Sunday school. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. It didn't say we'll just sit down and just wait. No. It does say in one place of the Bible, in Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter." But that comes when she had made her claim to Boaz. And now she needed to wait for Boaz to perform all that was necessary. It wasn't a waiting in laziness. It was a waiting upon God. As she put her claim totally in his court. And now she needed to wait until Boaz would perform it. But you see here that Ruth was diligent. She was using the means. There was a possibility, there was this law that she could go and glean in the field, and she used it. She wasn't lazy, she was diligent. She "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." There is a diligence here, you see, and we're told that she did it later on. It says she did it from the beginning of the morning. It was early she got up and did this. And she went and gleaned after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Why was that? She didn't know. We're told, you see, at the beginning of chapter 2 that she had this mighty man of wealth that was a relative that was Boaz. But clearly, Ruth didn't know that. It was only later on that when she goes back to her mother-in-law and says the man name was Boaz, that Naomi says, actually, that means something. He is a near kinsman. Ruth didn't know that at the time. But we read here, her hap was the light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. What a hap. And you see, our lives, the providence of our lives, where your job is, where you live, the people you come into contact with, are all in the sovereign hand of God. The providence of God that ruleth everything according to the counsel of his own will. She was diligent in the means, but God put her in the field of somebody who had a heart for gleaners, who loved gleaners, who were going to take care. There may have been some that would have ignored the law and said, "Get out of my field, I'm not having you in my field." But no, she came to this one who had a heart for gleaners, a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Wonderful providence of God. The providences of God. You see, the sovereignty of God. And yet the responsibility of us is to seek. Responsibility of Ruth to go and glean. If she'd have stayed back in the house or wherever they were staying, she wouldn't have met Boaz, would she? She went out to glean. "Those that seek me early shall find me. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem." So she was there busy in the field, you see. Busy working away. And what does this mean in a spiritual sense for us? Gleaning in the gospel field. It's reading God's word. Hearing the preaching of the gospel. Reading those books that that show forth the praises of God. Having those times of prayer and meditation on the Word of God. These are the things that are gleaning in the field. But what a mercy, isn't it, when we're busy gleaning, that the Lord of the harvest comes and visits his people. And how much more productive it was once Boaz came. And you see, as the Lord visits his people, those gleanings, those reading of the Bible, those times of prayer, those times of meditation, oh, how much more fruitful they are as Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You see, we read here in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. The reapers. We can think of those as the gospel preachers. The Lord be with you. This is what Boaz says to them, and how vital it is that the Lord is with his people. As we preach the gospel now, we need the Lord's presence. And this is what Boaz says. And he said unto the reapers, the Lord be with thee. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And the preachers of the gospel, isn't that what they want? The blessing of God. Yes, we want the Lord to bless us, but we ultimately want his name to be exalted. That's the real aim, isn't it, for the glory of God. Not living for our own glory. We want to be blessed, yes, but crown him with many crowns. Not crown ourselves. We will receive crowns of glory. But really, it's the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And that's what they say. They answer him, the Lord bless thee. Verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Oh, you see, when you were busy with your reading of the Bible, busy in prayer, busy in thinking of the things of God, would God think upon, would he visit you? Ah, well, you see, Ruth, in her diligence, in her gleaning, Jesus himself drew near. And came. And he was inquiring. He was interested in this one that was gleaning in his field. And you see, the Lord Jesus is interested in gleaners. He's interested in those. And why was Ruth gleaning? Because she needed it. She was hungry. She had nothing to eat. And you see, we come hungry for the Word of God. We need that fresh supplies. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. There needs to be a feeding on the word. And she needed that food. And as she was seeking that food, the Lord of the harvest came and visited her. Then said Boaz unto the servants that were set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? He's interested in gleaners. May that be an encouragement. You might say, well, the God of heaven, with all that's going on in heaven, isn't interested in whether I read my Bible or not. Oh, he is. You see, he's interested in gleaners. He's interested in encouraging gleaners. He's interested in visiting them. He's interested in speaking peace to them and kindness. And love and mercy. Then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over the reapers, whose damsel is him? And you see, the reapers then give an account of Ruth, don't they? And you see, we're told that the servants of God, they need to give an account of the people. They need to say how they've been gleaning, what they've been doing. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back from with Moab out of the country of Moab. With Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she asked if she could, and they said she could. And she's been busy now to the morning until now. She's been diligent. She's been using the means. She's been seeking to gather those things that would feed her naturally. But there's a spiritual parallel. She wanted her food, you see. And then, you see, the Lord of the harvest comes. It wasn't the... wasn't owned by the reapers, was it? And you see, the ministers of the gospel don't own the harvest. It's not my harvest. It's his harvest. It's his glory. And he visits his people. He uses means. He uses the reapers. He uses the young men to draw the water so that when they need something to drink, there's water there. He uses these people. But you see, it's the Lord of the harvest. It's the one that's ultimately in control. The one that is overseeing it. He's visiting his people, as we had this morning. He visits his people. And then in verse 8, you see, we have Boaz then speaking directly to Ruth. You think of it, this one that had just come to glean in the field, you can imagine, yes, he wants to speak to the servant that's set over the reapers and find out what's going on, and then he'll go off. You see, that's the wonderful thing about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor. Though he's so great, yet he's able to communicate with each one of his people. Personally, to come where they are, the beautiful account of the Good Samaritan. You see, the scribe and the Pharisee, the priest and the Levite, they saw the half-dead man and they went by on the other side. They didn't help him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Boaz, as he came into the field, he came where Ruth was and spoke to her in a language he could understand, with kindness and encouragement and love. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not my daughter?" Why did he say that? "I'm really talking to you. You don't think I'm going to talk to you, but I am. I am talking to you." And you see, the Lord is talking to his people in his word. As we read the word of God, he's talking to his people. "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The word of God is written that we may feed on it and that we may know those blessings. "Hearest thou not my daughter?" She might have thought, "Well, I'm sure you're not talking to me. You must be talking to somebody else." "Hearest thou not my daughter? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. My daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." There was an encouragement. She must have thought, "Well, perhaps am I really welcome here?" But he was showing her, "Yes, you're very welcome here." You see, the Lord loves his people. He delights. You think of Joseph and his brethren when they were saying, "We be verily guilty concerning our brother." He went aside to weep. They didn't realise it. But he was so delighted to see that they'd come with repentance. That the work of grace was going on in their hearts. That they weren't carrying on in their unbelief and sin and rebellion. That they had been broken. And that they were seeking to find mercy. And seeking to confess their sins. And so the heart of Boaz, you see, he's for his people. The heart of Boaz. "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field." You see, if you go gleaning in the field of the world, you won't get food for your soul. It won't be a blessing for your soul. The lust, the pomp, the pride of life, all that this world calls good or great will not satisfy. "Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here passed by my maidens. You see, there was a sense of, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? I've made sure that nobody's going to be unkind to you. And I'm the Lord of the harvest. I'm in control. And I've done this so that you will be able to glean. You will be able to feed and able to get those things that you need in this field. You see, he's made provision for his people. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. You see, now, Boaz here was going beyond what the law stated. The law made provision for gleaners, but it didn't mean that they had to feed them in the field and water them in the field. This was Boaz going beyond. You see, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. Oh, Boaz did need to have gleaners in his field, but he didn't need to treat them like this. This was beyond what he would require to do by the law. He did it in kindness and love, you see, to Ruth. And it's the love of Christ that constraineth us. As we see his love, he was not duty bound to do this. The love of Christ to sinners. And then you see the reaction in verse 10, what we named as a text. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy sight? See, this is humility. You see, the left to ourselves, walking in pride, we think everybody should be doing something for us. But Ruth wasn't of that disposition. Ruth realized that she was at the mercy of God. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord has broken down all that pride and all that self-righteousness and all that seeking to merit our way to salvation. When we come as empty. See, Ruth was empty. In Moab, no doubt she had a fullness, but she was now empty. She'd been empty, and now she was gleaning. And you see, we need to be empty so that we can be filled. We need to come to the end of our own righteousness so that we can seek the righteousness of another. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She felt she was a stranger. She felt she was not like one of Israel. She says, not like one of thy handmaidens. She felt that separation. And yet, you see, she is very humble. But interesting, you see a difference in verse 11. Boaz tells her something that must have shocked her. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people that thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She didn't expect that. How does he even know who I am? Let alone all this. You see, in the New Testament, in Matthew 25, we have something similar going on. Matthew 25, verse 34. This is the judgment's going on, and the king is judging the people. And Matthew 25, verse 34, then said the king, shall the king say unto them, come on, them on his right hand, "Come in, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. Was sick and you visited me, and in prison and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer and say, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee we thee a stranger and took thee in?" Do you see, the righteous, they're not looking to their works. They see imperfection in everything that they do. They've got nothing to glory in. And yet the Lord of the harvest, you see, he delights as we seek to serve him with imperfection. And yet we seek to serve him. "Or when saw we sick and prison and healed thee?" The king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren," you've done it, Ruth, to Naomi. You've been kind to Naomi. You didn't think I knew that, but I did. I saw you being kind to her. I saw the kindness that you've given to Naomi. And the Lord, you see, blesses her. You see, it's the blessing, that, and she doesn't think of it at all. The exact opposite, you see, you have with those that walk in pride. The exact opposite. Ruth, you see, she thought much of Christ. She needed Christ to do so much for her. And she thought little of herself. He must increase, I must decrease. But you see, the self-righteous come with a load of things that they've done for God. Matthew 7 verse 21, it says, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which in heaven. Many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, we have cast out devils in thy name, have done wonderful works. Then will I profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity." You see, if we're so busy as we think doing things for God, and he'll be so pleased with us for what we're doing, if that is our mentality, then you see, we're like Matthew 7. We're doing it ourselves. We're not looking to Christ. We're not seeking to do it as unto him. We're not walking in humility and love. We're walking in self-righteousness and pride. And you see, Ruth was so surprised that Boaz should pick this up. And so were they in Matthew 25. They were amazed that the king should say, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these my people." Well, you see, we can do something great when somebody's great about, but have you done it to the least of these my people? How have you treated the least one? And you see here, the Lord really blesses Ruth. She is very lowly. And yet, you see, the Lord is nigh unto them which are of a broken and of a contrite heart. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose hand thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly to thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." And then he brings her to this meal. They have a meal of parched corn, that is roasted corn. She has a bounty in this field. She has some over that she takes back to her mother-in-law and gives that to her. And is there not that something of that when we've benefited from those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord? Do we take some back for somebody else? Do we go and tell others of what the Lord has done and how the Lord has blessed us and given them some blessing too? You see, was she concerned? She wanted her mother-in-law to benefit from that meal that she had in the field. "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. Purposely, the bounty given to Ruth, purposely. Isn't that sometimes when we read the Word of God and it just seems to fit exactly what we stand in need of? A handful of purpose, a bounty. We say that's just exactly what we needed. To go on and to be encouraged. Handfuls of purpose. And then you see we glean. It's when Boaz comes, then the gleaning, you see, becomes so productive. As we glean in the gospel field. And you see as she went on with her gleaning. And as you go on in the rest of the book of Ruth, it's the relationship that Boaz becomes the chief thing. Yes, her gleaning's important. Our Bible reading's important. Our prayer's important. But it's important as it brings us to the Boaz. It's as we learn of him. I am meek and lowly in heart. You see, Boaz loved the meekness and lowliness of Ruth. He saw it as a tremendous quality. Later on, when she came and asked him to be her kinsman redeemer, he said to her, this is in chapter 3, and blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than the beginning, inasmuch as thou hast not followed young men, whether rich or poor. Seems that Boaz was a lot older than Ruth. And naturally there wasn't the same natural attraction in that sense, in a natural sense. He was a lot older. But Ruth, because she had respect under God's laws, respect under raising up seed in the name of the dead, respect unto the lost inheritance, she realized that this is the one that could redeem. And you see, to the natural eye, the Lord Jesus, he's a root out of a dry ground, no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. But the church of God see things differently. The church of God say he is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Seeing Ruth, you see, she had come to see everything in Boaz. That he was everything she needed. And he realized that in a natural sense, she could have satisfied her natural appetite more easily with others. With other young men. She could have gone and got somebody else. She could have got somebody back in Moab. But you see, she had respect on the recompense, the reward. She was concerned what God wanted her to do. What wilt thou have me to do? And you see, Ruth, Boaz, loved that. And you see, the Lord Jesus loves the grace that he has worked in his own people. As they come humbly, seeking to do his will, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No longer doing their own way, no longer seeking their own way. We think of Judah, that one that sold, that suggested that they sold Joseph into slavery. Judah was the same one that became surety for Benjamin. What a change! What a total U-turn! The one that was so selfish and horrible to Joseph was the very surety for Benjamin. And you see, that's what the grace of God does, and God loves the grace of God in his people. As he sees that reflection of himself, imperfect, yes. But it has a resemblance of Christ. Till we all come in the fullness, the image of Christ. We are to resemble him. We are to be made like him. Yes, we're poor images, we're poor mirrors. But we are to shine for his glory. We are to see what he has done for us, and we are to walk that out in our lives. We might be those that resemble the Saviour. And Ruth, in her kindness, you see, she there was a resemblance of what Boaz so much needed to do for her. And Boaz saw that beauty in her too. And that's why in the Song of Solomon, you see, it's a two-way beauty. The bride can't see what the bridegroom sees in her. But you see, there is a beauty because she's been made beautiful by him. She's been given a robe of righteousness. She's been given hungering and thirsting after righteousness that she never had before. That's beautiful to the Saviour. He delights in it. And you see, thou art all fair, my love. They're all fair. Well, we look at ourselves. Ruth looked at herself and she could only, as it were, see nothing in herself. See herself as a stranger, not like one of thine handmaidens. But Boaz loved her. Boaz appreciated the grace that God had worked in her. And you see, the Lord loves the grace of God in his own people. Not that we should go round in pride, but he loves to see the humility. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken and of a contrite spirit. Ruth demonstrated that in her willingness to humble herself, to get on her hands and knees and pick up those grains of wheat. But as she was diligent in doing that, she found those handfuls of purpose coming. And she went at the end of the day with this great amount of 20 kilograms, I worked out, grain that she took back to her mother-in-law, enough to make 37 loaves of bread in one day. You see, she had a bounty. She'd been visited by the Lord of the harvest. He'd encouraged her in that gleaning work, that hard work, that back-breaking, bending work. But she was willing, and she came back with a good result of Boaz. But you see, the Boaz, it didn't stop there, did it? The harvest went on. She went on with the gleaning. But Naomi then says, shall I not seek rest for thee? It's not enough just to be a gleaner. There needs to be that union. Boaz needed to become her redeemer. He needed to take all her debts. He needed to be that one that would raise up seed in the name of the dead. He needed to give her that rest. And so we need to go to our heavenly Boaz. We need to learn of him from his word, and then we need to know him. We need to experience his love. And we need to realize that this mighty man of wealth has all that riches for the benefit and the blessing of his church. And that's why, you see, Paul the Apostle, having nothing and yet possessing all things. Because he had Christ. And because Ruth had Boaz, everything was hers. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have everything. Because he is the fullness. He owns everything. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's drawing sinners to himself, making them hate the sins they once loved, working that grace in their hearts so that they may become beautiful, though imperfect, but beautiful, and so that they may live to him. May the Lord make us each gleaners in the harvest, those that in our gleaning have dealings with Boaz, the heavenly Boaz, and that he might bring us into that fellowship, that we might truly know the rest that remaineth to the people of God. Amen.